Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses because this is the heart of the gospel, or you could call it, if you want a title for it, it's the truth of the gospel, or the gospel truth. Luke chapter 4, and it's verse 18. Verse 18 down to verse 21. Jesus is coming back from being baptized of the Spirit. He's been tempted in the wilderness, and then he's been baptized of the Spirit, and everything the devil could throw at him has been thrown at him. He comes back victoriously. He takes up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He preaches in the ears of the people. He quotes from Isaiah, and he speaks about the prophecy of the Messiah and how you'll identify the Messiah. How you identify the Messiah. And so we're going to read together. This is a paraphrase, or this is a quote that's taken from Isaiah, but we find it in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to verse 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. 2,000 years ago, folks, it was fulfilled and done. But it may be fulfilled in your heart today. It may be fulfilled in your heart today. I'm going to ask Lisa, please, Lisa. You're no stranger to some people here, but may God bless you, sister, as you come to share with us now your testimony and tell of what the Lord has done. Go ahead right away and share with us, please. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hello. Goodness, this is the first time I've been in this part of the church. The last time I was here, I was in another side, but for a very different reason. I met the Lord here in this church about 13 months ago, and I've been walking very close with him ever since. And my name's Lisa Carnahan. I've been married for 10 years and I have 4 daughters. I'm from an unchurched background. I went to Sunday school and had learned all the Bible stories and stuff in school, but no Christians in my family at all. So my story, really, the Lord Jesus that I read about and the stories that I heard was a little baby in a manger. And the Lord Jesus that I met was a warrior that came crashing into my life at full force, praise God. So the verse I like to read for my story is from Exodus, and it's chapter 15, verse 3. The Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. And this is the Lord that I met, and he literally saved me. A year and a half ago, over the years I've done alternative therapies, I've done yoga classes, I've had reflexology done, things that I thought would have helped me and helped me health-wise to be fit, and mentally as well. Like I'd maybe done a bit of mindfulness, thinking that I was helping myself. And about a year and a half ago, I was getting pains in my hands and feet. And I'd made an appointment with the doctor, and they wanted to take some bloods. And I was talking to my friend on the phone a while after, and she's into all alternative therapies. And she asked me how I was, and I told her that I had pains in my hands and feet. For weeks and weeks I'd had this. And we were worried, and I was going to the doctors. And she said to me, Lisa, all you need is your energy balanced out. I know a girl, Rekki, and it's probably all hormones. My daughters, I had 4 children in 5.5 years. So the youngest is 2, Connie. Marnie's 4, Bobby's 7, and Isla's 8. So I'm a busy mama, and so I went to this lady, and it was in her house in a garage that she'd converted into a therapy room, and was sat down and told her that, you know, Leah, give me your number, and pains in my hands and feet, and I explained to her that my friend Lee was into all that kind of stuff, and I explained to her and I said, you know, I'm not into all that stuff that Lee's into. I'm just here for pains in my hands and feet, and I believe in God. And she could tell I was nervous, and she said to me, I can tell you're nervous. So what I'll do is I'll pray over you before we start. And I was like, right, and it made me feel totally at ease. So she prayed to God, and being unchurched and the lack of knowledge that I had, I didn't know that you had to pray in the name of Jesus. So I didn't know who she was praying to, but she prayed to God, and at that time that was good enough for me. And then she explained that, she said that you could do this for yourself, and you could do it for your children and for your husband. My husband owned his own business, and it would be stressful enough owning his own business. And she said, you know, you could do it for them. And I said, I'm a stay-at-home mummy. I'm very happy being a stay-at-home mummy. I have no aspirations to go out and start up my own business or anything. I like being a mummy. And she says, well, you know, you could do it for your children and for your husband. And I says, right, okay. And it sounded good. And so I went on her course, and she showed me how you just place your hands. All you do is place your hands on different parts of your body, and that was it. And I had to do it for 2 weeks then by myself. And I'd done it for a couple of days, and it just didn't feel right. It just didn't feel right at all. And then, if I had to, put my hands on my head, I just had a feeling that my hands would have wanted to move by themselves. And it totally freaked me out. And I phoned her, and I said, listen, my hands feel like they want to move by themselves. And she says, that's fine, you know, that's all part of it. She says, but, you know, you have free will, you can stop at any time. And I stopped, and that was that. And then a couple of weeks later, me and my husband went to Edinburgh to visit his family over there. His auntie hadn't been too well, so we were going over to visit her. And so all the family got together, and we were in Edinburgh, and just sitting around the table after dinner having a conversation with my sister-in-law, and she was telling me, I was telling her about all the recce and all that stuff, and she started talking about that she didn't believe in God, and she said that she tried reading the Bible and she just couldn't get it, that there was just too much badness that, you know, that was in the Bible of murder and all the rest. And she said, I feel that the likes of Buddha and stuff sounds like a better way. And just in that conversation, I said to her, you know, Karen, I've been brought up to believe in God, and Jesus is my God, and that's how I've been brought up. And it tells me in the commandments that you shall not worship any other God. And little did I know that that commandment was well and truly broke, because I was unknowingly doing something that I should not have been doing. And that night, me and Robert went to bed in Edinburgh in a hotel, and he fell asleep, and I woke him up all of a sudden and said to him, Robert, there's bad in here, I need to get out. I just needed to get out of that hotel. And Robert done exactly what he was told. He did, And without even asking, he just done it and he got up. We had been married 10 years, but we were in P1 together. We went to all primary school together, all secondary school together. We were brought up together. So he knows me. And we went outside. I couldn't wait to get out of the hotel. And all I can describe it as, like, I was through to my knees. I was on my knees outside in a hotel looking up at Robert, not knowing why I was on my knees, but I just felt that I was pushed to my knees, and all I could say was ho, 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 not knowing what was happening. That's all I could say. And he phoned his auntie and I said, I can't go back into that hotel. I need us to pray. And my whole testimony as well, it's the power of prayer. Like, throughout my whole story, there was prayer involved. And we went to his auntie's house, and I didn't sleep a wink that whole night. All I done was pray. And the only prayer I knew was the Lord's Prayer. So I must have said it about 100 times, because I didn't sleep a wink. And I didn't feel myself. And I couldn't wait to get home. And the next day, we got on the plane and we went home. And it was just like I was outside looking in. I didn't know what was happening. And we got home. And the next day, I was driving to get my children out of school. Robert had went to work. And I was driving to get my children out of school. And I had the two wee ones in the car. And Isla and Bobby were in primary school. And as I was driving, I just had all these thoughts in my mind that I needed to leave my husband. And I just didn't need to be with him anymore. And I knew right then that those thoughts did not belong to me, because it's impossible. It's impossible for me to think I don't want to be with my husband. And the only person in my whole life that I knew that was a godly person was my friend Cliona, her mum. And I phoned Cliona's home phone number, and her mum answered the phone. And I said, now, I had only met Nuala probably 3 times in my life. And I phoned her and I said, Nuala, I need your help. I need you to pray for me. And she says, well, I'm minding Cliona's children here. And I said, well, I have my 4 in the car and I'm on my way to Cliona's house. I've done something really, really bad, and I don't know what I've done, but I need prayer. I need you to pray for me. So I went to her house and she prayed for me, and she put her arms around me and she was praying, and I could feel the power of her prayer. I could feel my body relax when she was praying. And when she stopped, my body just tensed up, and I just didn't know what was happening. And my mum and dad, they came up to my house, and they had to move in with me for a fortnight. And Robert and I would be the very sensible ones in our family, and like the logical ones, that just ordinary, decent people. And my mum and dad moved in, and they seen that I wasn't right, and I couldn't sleep. And I said, phone the doctors, because I didn't know what was happening. So they phoned my doctor, and she knows me personally, and she came out to the house and she took one lick, and she said, I think we need to get Lisa assessed. And I was happy to be assessed, because what was going on in my mind, I just didn't know what was happening to me. So I went and got assessed, and thankfully, and I thank the Lord for this lady too, since she was a Christian. And I told her exactly what had happened, and if I had told somebody else, who knows what could have happened to me then. But she asked me how my faith was, and I told her I believe in God, and I prayed to God, and he'll help me. I know he'll help me. And she said, I think maybe you're a bit tired, and you're you're doing a bit much and with all your children and stuff, and go home and rest. And I went home and rested, and my mum and dad were still in the house. And then a few weeks later, my husband had to come out of work also to do the school runs, the ballet runs, the swimming runs, all the things that was involved with being a mum and just looking after four wee children. And so he done that for a few weeks. And so whenever I got back on the kind of the mother and toddler circuit and on the ballet circuit, I spent a lot of my time in waiting rooms, talking to other parents while my children are in, pointing their toes and all the rest of it. So I was talking to this lady in the ballet waiting room, and she was explaining, telling me all about her amazing holiday that she went on and that she was in Israel. And I said to her, "What do we take you to Israel, Nicola? Is there not a war going over there?" And she said, "I'm a Christian." And I was like, "Right, okay." And I said to her, "Can I ask you something? Can I ask what your opinion of Reiki is?" And she explained to me that Reiki is a form of spiritualism, and it opens you up to, just opens you up to everything that is not of the Lord Jesus. And I said to her, I know that now, I know that, but I didn't know then that it wasn't right and that it was wrong. And she said to me, maybe you might need deliverance. And I said to her, "What's deliverance?" And she said, "It's whenever people of the Lord Jesus will lay their hands on you and pray for you." And I said, "That's what I need. That's exactly what I need, Nicola." And she got me the number of Jim McTurnan here, and I phoned him, and I just knew that I needed help from God, but I didn't know how to get it. And I phoned Jim and I explained to him what had happened to me, and he told me to come down. So my friend Michelle, who I met just in all the mother and toddler groups, we've been friends for a few years, I told her on the Monday, I said, "I'm going to church on Wednesday, Michelle, to get deliverance." And she said, "What's deliverance?" And I said, "I don't know, but I need it. That's what I need." And she says, "Well, here, I'm coming too." And I was like, right. So she came, and I came here and met the most godliest people that I had ever met in my life. Jim, Anne Davidson, Raymond and Margaret. And I sat and told them all what had happened to me. And they asked me, "You know, are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I'm a good Christian girl. And I've been brought up Christian," not knowing that I wasn't an actual Christian. And so they explained the gospel to me. And they explained that I was a sinner, and all that horrible, wrong, yucky feeling that I was feeling was sin, and that I needed a saviour, and that the saviour that died on the cross and rose again, the Lord Jesus Christ, is who I need. And, well, he came crashing into my life. He really did. And all they prayed on me and they laid their hands on me, and all I can describe it was a feeling, and all I can say that I felt was the Lord Jesus Christ coming in to my body and driving it all out at a force, at an absolute force, and it all had to leave because Jesus Christ has the authority over the lot, over everything. And so they all had to leave. All that badness had to go because it was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, like, isn't that amazing? So after that, I said to Raymond, "What do I do now?" And he said, you go and you get yourself a Bible and you get into the Word of God. So I done what he said. Although driving in the car on the way home, me and Michelle were driving. Michelle's seen it all. She's seen it. I felt it, but she's seen it. And we were driving home and I just said, Michelle, did I just get saved in there? And she said, yes, you did. I said, you did. And I said, I literally got saved. I know what that word means, to get saved, because I got saved. I actually got saved from it. And it's just amazing to know that I met the Lord Jesus Christ that night, and I have been walking so close with him ever since. And I went to the Faith Mission bookshop and I bought my pink Bible, and the lady said, what you do, I said, this is my first Bible that I'm buying, and she says, well, open it at the book of Matthew because it'll be easier for you to understand. So I took my Bible home and I was lying in bed that night and I said to Robert, here, you want to read this? I said, see what happened to me? It's in this Bible. This is what Jesus done. This was what he done in his ministry. I said, so he is the same today as what he was yesterday. He is the same because I met the Lord Jesus and I'm reading about him here. And I read the bits of the wolves and the sheep's clothing. I met the wolves as well. I met the wolves. And everything has just changed for me. The guys at the prayer ministry here told me to go home and just walk around my house and pray to the Lord with his eyes on what there's anything in my house that does not belong to the Lord Jesus. And I filled up box loads of things that I'd picked up over the years, presents of wee wooden African women and things that just were not of God, and got rid of it all. All the books that I had before, all the self-help books, I have one book now and I can live my life by it. I really can. And whenever that happened, that happened in June, I came here, and I have a caravan in Ballywalter. So we spend all summer at our caravan, and I spent all summer reading my Bible, and I went to Malile Baptist Church and just learnt so much. I just wanted to know all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went there and I learnt about it, all about him. And then I came home, and I live in Lisburn, the Maze. And I said to my husband, I want to go to the Baptist College. I want to learn as much as I can about the Bible and about the Lord Jesus and how I can live my life to glorify him. So I started the 3-year Christian education course, and it comes in a couple of terms, and there's different subjects on each term. And of course, the time I enrolled, one of the subjects is cults. And I was like, oh, here, I don't know if I can do this one. So the pastor that was taken that night, he was talking about New Age, and he said, does anybody here have any experience with New Age? And I thought, well, I can't sit here and keep my mouth shut. So I was like, yes, I do. And I explained in a couple of minutes with a lot of tears, because I started this course in September. This had only happened to me a couple of months before in June. And there was a lot of tears, and I said, you know, it's real stuff. That's all real. And people think that it's not, and it's just very furry. It's not. It's all real. And I can tell you that from my experience. And I said, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into my life and he saved me. And that's why I'm here. I want to learn everything I can about the Lord. And after that, then a man that was in the course, Robbie Boyce, he came up and he said to me, Lisa, I think you have a story that you need to tell. And I was like, oh, Robbie, don't. I'm only here to learn about the Lord. I can't be standing up in front of people talking about all that. And that was in September. So, of course, in April, he said to me again, will you come, please, and tell your story? And I said, yes, I will. And so I went to, and in April there to his wee mission hall that he runs in Ardres. Ardres Mission Hall it's called. And this is the Lord, how he is now working in my life. I wrote up my testimony and my nerves were up to 100 because I've never spoken public in my life. The Lord's changing that. So I prayed that night that I was to go to the mission hall. I prayed that the Lord would stir the hearts of the Christian people that were going to hear my story, and to stir their hearts that they might know the mightiness, the absolute mightiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's answering prayers and there's answering prayers, because I went to that wee mission hall and there was about 30 people there, and I said to Robbie Boyce, I said, would you mind recording this, because my husband's nerves wouldn't let him come. He said he'd stay on his knees and pray in the house. I said, would you record it, because he'd give me a couple of wee CDs. I'd never heard testimonies before, so he gave me a couple of wee CDs that I could listen to in the car. So I said to him, would you mind recording it, because this is something that I don't think I'll ever really speak about again, to be honest. And he said, yes, no problem. So I got up and I gave my testimony, and on the way out, I said to him, would you send me a wee copy of that CD? And he says, well, now you might only see the side of your head. And I was like, what do you mean? He says, we recorded it. And I was like, oh, here, I thought it was just going to be like my voice. And he said, no, I recorded it. And he says, would you like me to, do you mind if I put it on Facebook? And I don't do Facebook. And I was like, aye, why not? Why not? And that's the Lord just in amongst it, me asking it for to be recorded. And I could just see the Lord's hand in it now whenever I look back. So it went on Facebook, and I went home and I said to my husband, to put it on Facebook, you'll be able to watch it. And like that happened a good lot of weeks ago, and the response that I've had from that is absolutely incredible. Incredible. I've had to join Messenger. I've joined Messenger because I was getting... people started contacting me, and all Christian people, my story of just the mightiness and the power of the Lord. And a lot of people, I've had churches that has contacted me if I would come and share with them, and I've had a lot of people who were maybe considering doing mindfulness. And the Lord has been able to speak to them through this story. People who were going to yoga, and now the Lord spoke to them. And I think I mentioned the word yoga once in my testimony, and I think that's probably been the most that people have spoke to me about. And so that, like, I think it's maybe nearly 20,000 people now have seen that, which is just incredible. And that's the Lord using for what the Lord's done for me. My story, he showed me. It's a blessing in disguise. It was a blessing because he showed me where I was. He showed me that pit that I had got myself into. And now, looking back, when I read the Bible now, I can see myself and my story in the Bible. I read Hosea, and I read the passage where God says, my people die with lack of knowledge. I was one of those people that I did not have the knowledge, and somewhere along all my generations, and the word of God got lost. But it's back now. Going forward, it is back now. I read in Hosea that Hosea is a book of spiritual adultery. That was me. I was committing spiritual adultery. And as I hear my pastor preaching this, it's like light bulbs going off. I read the story of Joseph and how all the badness that happened to him, that God just took it all and turned it around and made it for good, because he ended up saving all of his family. So it's the story that I have. My family who had seen it and just seen everything that had happened to me would probably say it would be something out of a horror story, but I tell them it's like something out of the Bible, because it is. It's something you read about out of the Bible. And I just love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love talking about him. I love singing to him. I love praying. I pray before anything. Whenever I'm going out, I pray that the Lord will use me as an instrument. In whatever way he wants to use me, he can, because I know where he pulled me out from, and I am eternally grateful. And even now in my daily life, for example, I leave my husband's suits to the dry cleaners, and my conversations would have been all, "How are you doing?" and "The weather's great," and all the rest. And I went in the other week and he said, "I was watching you on Facebook." And I was like, "Isn't the Lord great?" So all my conversations now are very purposeful. I went to my friend Lindsay. She's a pastor's wife. He's a pastor of Victoria Street Baptist in Belfast. She likes to paint, and she had an art exhibition in Vicarin in Lisburn, and she invited me along, and I went along to support her. And I prayed in the car on the way that if there's anything the Lord have me do, I'll do it, and to use me to glorify his name. And I gave my testimony 3 times in a couple of hours. And it was just so just random and so natural. I was talking to a pastor, I was talking to a lady who runs a prayer ministry at another church, I came out of that night thinking, I'm working for the Lord. The Lord is just in my life. He's in my life, getting amongst my daily life. I'm talking about the Lord in all my conversations. I've had a chat with a principal in the school that my children go to, that they do mindfulness for the children, and she explained to me that, it helps clear the children's minds, and it gives them an anchor. And I said, well, we are Christians and we anchor ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have problems or if we have worries, we pray to the Lord. That's what we do, because we are Christians. And she didn't know what to say, and neither did I, because I prayed before I went in that day that the Lord give me the words. And he did. So I came out thinking, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Like, the power of prayer is just, it's just something else. And I can't thank this prayer ministry here enough. I really can't. That just all the different God appointments that led me from the Maze in Lisburn to this church for me to meet the Lord. And it's just amazing. And I would have some people now that would come up and say to me, what's your opinion on this? And what's your opinion on that? And I just say, who am I to judge? But I can tell you that, do you see, if you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and you're really walking close with him and you know his voice, he will tell you. And you don't need to get advice and ask loads of different people. If you're walking with the Lord, he will tell you what is right and what is wrong. And it's just great. It's great to have those rules. Now I know what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong, and I'm correcting myself all the time. I've stopped, and this happened very naturally, I've stopped listening to music. I only listen to gospel music now, because I like to be careful on what goes into my ears and what goes into my eyes. So I only like to hear music about the Lord. And when I watch TV, I'm watching sermons. And I'm listening to podcasts, and it's all about God, because I know where I was and I know where I am now, and it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. But I'll read Psalm 40. This is just great for me. Psalm 40, it's faith, persevering in trial. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. And that really is my story. The Lord has put a new song in my mouth, and if he wants me to shout it from the rooftops, I will. And that's how the Lord came into my life.
I think Lisa's glad she's saved, huh? I think there's nothing but joy in her heart. Isn't it wonderful what the Lord can do, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful what the Lord has done? I'm very mindful that in this gathering that there may be those who would love to be saved. You've maybe known about Christ and his death on the cross for you, and you've come in here looking for answers. And I think Lisa has spelled it out very well. Like, you need to let God into every area of your life. You need to trust him and let him take over. Let him take control. Give him those areas that are failure, that you're failing in, or that you're questioning, or that you're doubting. I'm going to bring your minds back to that little verse of scripture that I read to you from Luke chapter 4. Try and help you bring you to that place where Lisa was brought to 14 months ago, in the hall across the way, where she had delved into so many things. And let's face it, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Did you notice that the voices that were raising in her head were telling her to separate from her husband? And one of the big things that's happening today is family breakup and decay in society. The devil's busy destroying homes, families and lives. But Jesus Christ is in the business of remaking families and lives. And just for a few moments, I'm going to mention to you a few things from this little verse in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel. This little text, first of all, deals with the truth of the gospel. You see, God doesn't paper over the cracks. He doesn't sweep sin aside. He doesn't sweep it under the carpet. He doesn't give sin and failure a byball. He deals with the issue. He deals with the issue of sin. That's the truth of the gospel. He deals with it. He wants to deal with those things that have been destroying your life. Because the reality is that it's sin that is, no matter what coat you put on it, no matter what picture or how you portray it, no matter what cloak it comes under, sin destroys lives. That's the truth. And it was destroying Lisa's life, and it's probably destroying your life if you're not yet seeing it. Because that's what sin does. It destroys lives. But the truth of the gospel is that God remakes lives. He renews lives. He brings meaning and purpose. He heals the brokenhearted. He brings deliverance to the captives, and he sets them free. And those that are in darkness and those that are hurting. And it's interesting, the things that God does for people is a reversal of what sin does to people. Sin brings you into darkness. Sin brings you into bondage. Sin brings you into fear. Sin brings you into condemnation. Sin destroys the real you. And whenever you come to Christ, you begin to feel again. You begin to live again. You begin to see again. And you begin to see the real things that matter. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the truth of the gospel. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. Sin breaks hearts, but God fixes hearts. Sin blinds us to the glories of Christ. But the gospel of Jesus Christ brings the eyes salve, that we might see the glory of Christ. That's the truth of the gospel. Jesus said he has come. And maybe tonight he has come. And if you would open your heart tonight, and I don't know everyone here, I know most of the people here, but I don't know everyone. But maybe it's because you heard of this testimony that's coming, and that has been the magnet that is drawing you to hear. And perhaps you've come in with a broken heart, perhaps you've come in with some kind of confusion, or questions on your mind, or maybe you've been into Reiki and New Age stuff, that kind of self-help thing, trying to help yourself, when all the time only God can help you. Maybe you've come in with real need. There's bondage or there's failure or some habit in your life. Well, I want to tell you the truth of the gospel tonight for you is Jesus Christ sets you free. That's the truth. And it matters not where you are or who you are. He will undo that which the devil has done because he deals with your sin. He deals with sin first. Interesting, Lisa came for deliverance, but she got saved. Got saved. Notice not only the truth of the gospel, I want you to notice the thrust of the gospel. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You know, it's not some self-help, it's not you trying to keep a set of rules and regulations. It's where the Spirit of God, who comes with all the authority of heaven, into your life. And as Lisa said, I didn't hear your testimony before, so I didn't know what we were going to hear necessarily. It came well recommended. But he came in like a warrior and drives out all of those things that destroys your life. You see, you can't save yourself. You can't break those old habits. You can't undo all those old things that you've been brought up with or that you've inherited since the fall of man. But there's one who's able to do that. That's the thrust of the gospel. As I'm sure other preachers have often said, and I know that Sam Workman used to say it very often, you couldn't save yourself any more than you can lift yourself up by your own bootlaces. But the gospel doesn't spring, it's not sourced from a denomination or a group or a counseling session. The gospel is sourced from the very heart of God. And all the power of heaven on earth is available to those who will trust him tonight. That's the thrust of the gospel. Notice not only the thrust of the gospel then, I want you to notice the testimony of the gospel. In verse 18 it says, he's come to heal the brokenhearted and to preach the gospel to the poor. What does it mean, the poor? Well, the poor is another way of saying the humble. You know what humility is? Humility is looking at yourself for who you really are. It's not dressing yourself up in the rags and relics of religion. It's not trying to dress yourself up in any old fashion of self-righteousness. But it's recognizing who you really are. And if you're not saved, you're a sinner that needs to be saved. The humble. Humble. Humility is to take the low place. It also means the honest. You know, the Word of God says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know what would be good tonight if we were each and every one honest, especially those who have not yet confessed their need and trusted in Christ. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you do need to be delivered from some habitual sin. To be honest, let's take off the mask. Let's take off the pretense. You could be here with the world's vilest temper. And you go, you cut people in 2 seconds and use nothing only your tongue. To be honest. And you know it's not doing the gospel a service. You know that in the workplace you are an absolute failure. Honest. You've heard the term Judgment Day, Honest Day, haven't you? Well, why couldn't today be Judgment Day? Honest. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. When he was mentioning to the poor, he was talking about the humble, he was talking about the honest, and he was talking about the hungry. I've never met a poor person but was hungry. But maybe you're hungry for a new life. A new way in your life. A new purpose in life. Hungry for a new lifestyle. And there's no greater lifestyle than the lifestyle of righteousness. Isn't that right, Lisa? I think you're the greatest advert for a new life. Righteousness, holiness, godliness. Are you hungry for such a reversal of your life and your lifestyle that you'll do anything? Well, if you do anything, then just turn to God tonight. The thrust of the gospel, the testimony of the gospel, and very quickly the time of the gospel, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You might not know this, but the acceptable year of the Lord happened every 49 years. Jesus is drawing from the old history and the old rituals of the Judaistic religion and tradition. Every seven years they had to rest the land. And then every seven sevens, which is 49, they had to give the land a total year's rest. They didn't plant any plants, and they didn't, and any captives and any slaves that were taken for a ransom, they had to be released and set free. Released and set free without any payment. That's the acceptable year. That's what he's talking about here. He's come to preach deliverance to the captive and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. We've been in that day since Christ died on the cross. He has paid the full penalty for sin. And there is glorious opportunity and possibility for you. Listen, look at me when I say this. For you to be set free. To get a new life, to get a new start, to get a new life to start with, to get a new Savior, to get a new Master, to get a new desire, to get a new heart. There is the opportunity here and now. Now. Here and now. This moment. Look at it's only 27 minutes. It's 23 minutes. That's right. Go in the back way. It's only 23 minutes to wait. At 23 minutes to wait, you can be set free. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. What would happen if this is the last opportunity you sit in the meeting? If this is the last time you hear the words preached? If this was the last word that you ever heard, and you went into eternity from this meeting, where would you go? And what would you go with? Let's pray together. Father, we pray that as we've listened to this testimony of reality, this testimony of grace, this testimony of truth, this testimony of the amazing grace of God. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Lord, we pray that there will be others tonight. Oh God, that will reach out and recognize that there's one who's here to deliver and set free. We pray for joy unspeakable and full of glory. We pray that the Spirit of God will possess every life, take control of every mind and heart. We pray that there will be those, Lord, who will be healed in their spirit tonight, captive set free. Dear God, we pray that the poor in spirit might reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Father, tonight we pray that there will be someone courageous enough to say, it's Christ for me. Christ for me. In the solemnity of this gathering and at the quietness of these closing moments, and as you've been listening to an amazing testimony of someone who's overjoyed of what God has done for them, and it's real. God has been speaking to you through that testimony, and you've made up your mind, you've purposed in your heart. Can I say you cannot trust yourself to respond after the meeting's over? But I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond now, and it's not going to be a very obvious one. If you've said, I want a new life, I want a new life to start off, I want to be broken of that old habit and that bondage, I want to get a new master, I want the light to dawn on my soul tonight, would you just simply, where you are, and this will not be a long and drawn out, I'm not going to ruin the meeting by making a long drawn out invitation, but all I need to, I only want to ask you is, if you simply want Christ to renew you, to heal that broken heart, to make you a new creature, would you just raise your right hand where you are in this meeting and just put it right up and say, I want God to do something new for me. Just raise your right hand where you are right away. If not, we'll finish in prayer. Father, you see every heart and every life, and you know what the need is, and we pray that the grace of God might meet those needs for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Saviour, Hear My Humble Cry, While on Others Thou Art Calling, Do Not Pass Me By. We're going to stand and sing. It's 334 if you're still using the book. Thanks, Rebecca. Just all stand. Asking Lisa to come with me to the door, and maybe one or two will want to speak with her after the meeting. I hope you have a wee bit of time, Lisa. If you have one or two questions, perhaps for or maybe you want to speak to her about your life and where you're going, or if you would like prayer, we would gladly help you. Don't leave if you've got something that's relevantly that was spoken tonight, and you have a Savior that's tugging at your heart. Make sure you do something about it. Now, Father, we pray, part us in thy fear and with thy blessing. Bring us to our homes in safety and cause us to rejoice in all that you're doing. Meet every need, we pray, as we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake alone. Amen. Amen. Thank you.